Our first scripture reading today is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 1 to 6, and then 16 to 21. Hear now God's word. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Verse 16. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our next scripture reading is in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 20b to 6:10. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see, we are alive, as punished and not yet killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as pure, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. Our final scripture lesson for today is found in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 1 to 2 and 12 to 17. This will be the scripture that I'll be preaching on today. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness spread upon the mountains. A great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from of old, nor will be again after them in ages to come. Down to verse 12. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? Lent. I absolutely adore Lent. I think you might know that by now. It's one of my favorite times of year. And as I described to Manor, they heard it for the first time. You'll hear it for the sixth time. It has a lot to do with my personality. If people's personalities could be explained through seasons, mine would be a winter personality. I kind of have that I don't want to say colder, but sometimes it feels a little barren. I enjoy the solitude of life. I enjoy the trees with the leaves on. You know, I like that kind of, I've always loved that kind of atmosphere. More Edgar Allan Poe and less Hallmark greeting card, you know, kind of thing. And so Lent has always scratched that itch for me, because it's a time when we come to the Lord. Well, we did the ashes today first. We have always done the ashes first since I've got here anyway. Because Lent is about beginning with the knowledge that we're sinners, that we're mortal, that we're frail, that we need God in our lives completely and absolutely. That's where we start. And I love our scripture today that we're preaching out of, the Joel scripture. Let me read it to you more of its entirety. Blow the trumpet of Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness spread over the mountains. A dark and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from of old, nor will be again after them in ages to come. Fire devours in front of them, and behind them a flame burns. Before them the land is like the Garden of Eden, but after them a desolate wilderness, and nothing escapes them. They have the appearance of horses, and like the war horses they charge. As with the rumbling of chariots, they leap on the mountains, of the tops of the mountains, like the crackling of a flame of fire devouring the stubble, like a powerful army drawn up for battle. Excuse me. Before them, peoples are in anguish. All faces grow pale like warriors. They charge like soldiers. They scale the wall. Each keeps to its own course. They do not swerve from their paths. They do not jostle one another. Each keeps to its own track. They burst through the weapons and are not halted. They leap up upon the city. They run upon the walls. Excuse me. They climb up into the houses. They enter through the windows like a thief. It's going to start now, is it? It's in the kitchen. That's all right. Excuse me. But you're all excited about me handling your communion. Yeah, I know. Let's see, where are we? No wonder I don't know where I am. It switched pages while I was coughing. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. The Lord utters his voice, and at the head of his army, how vast is his host! Numberless are those who obey his command. Truly, the day of the Lord is great, terrible indeed. Who can endure it? Thank you. One of my favorite authors, as you know, is C.S. Lewis. But C.S. Lewis had a friend, had a group of writers that he would meet with. They were called the Inklings. They would meet in the a little bar in England, Oxford, I want to say, called the Bird and the Babe. We went there when we went over to, just a nice little bar place. They have good fish and chips. Part of one of the members of the Inklings was a man by the name of J.R.R. Tolkien. You've probably heard of him if you've heard of Lord of the Rings, that was his. And Lord of the Rings is by far one of my favorite books. It's like up there in the top 10 easy. I've read all three of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, plus The Hobbit three times through. Fascinating, wonderful, wonderful books. And when I read this scripture that we just read, I picture a vast army like is portrayed in those stories, the orcs, and at Helm's Deep is where the soldiers of Rohan and the rest of Rohan, they went to Helm's Deep, which was their last refuge, and there was about 500 fighters against 10,000 plus orcs, and when they looked out, all they saw was death and devastation. Now, this is the army of the Lord, so it wouldn't be exactly fair to do a one-on-one comparison between God's army and that which are portrayed by the orcs, which has always been classically evil in any way. But the feeling that the people of Helm's Deep had when they looked out at the army of the orcs is similar to what the people of Israel had when they thought about the day of the Lord. The reason for this is because God is a just God. God is a God of righteousness. God is the only of righteousness. And so when the people saw the day of the Lord coming, they knew that because of their behavior and the way that they lived, that they did not measure up to the height that God wanted them to. And so the only judgment that God could pass upon them was guilty. And so this army that God commanded was to come and mete out justice to the people. And so for them, it was a scary time. It was a time to remember and be reminded that they weren't good enough, and their sentence was death. And that's Lent. That's where we start. We start Lent with the realization that our sentence is death. Because like the people of Israel in Joel, we can't measure up. Like the ashes upon our forehead, we are reminded of our frailty and mortality. We hear the phrase ashes to ashes, dust to dust, most commonly at what time of our life? At funerals. We don't hear it at our funeral, but we hear it at other people's funerals. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, to remind us of that we're going to end. This world that we live in is temporary. And the way that we've lived this hasn't been up to the level that God expects nor desires. When I think about that first step, that starting place on the journey of Lent, I think about us standing upon the precipice of the valley of shadow of death. That we stand at the opening of that valley looking down and seeing nothing but death and darkness. Nothing great. And that's through where our journey leads. But if I would be a winter personality, winter always gives way to spring. And so Lent, as it moves forward too, never is within itself a time of dreariness alone, but that dreariness always makes way for hope and joy and peace. Because as we put upon our foreheads the sign in dust and ashes, we put the sign of the cross, which reminds us that there is indeed life. That yes, we are temporal creatures living on a temporary plane, but through Jesus Christ, we are bound for eternity. This isn't all that there is. Because of what Christ has done for us, there's always hope. The beauty of of Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, there you will lead me. For as Christ died, we will celebrate during the last few days the Triduum, T-R-I-D-U-U-M, the last 3 days leading up to Easter. We celebrate the fact that through Christ's death, he walks with us in that valley. And through Christ's resurrection, we have the hope, the joy, and the promise that we'll come out the other side. But before we get there, we have to walk through the valley. And so Lent is a time to remind us that we need Christ to walk with us. But not only that, Lent is a time to remind us that we're not alone in our journey, that we have one another. I look at my life, and I don't always like what I see. I've made mistakes. I've made poor choices. As most parents, many who are represented here, I'm sure, and all throughout parenthood in general, we do things as parents that we thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But even as people in general, I'm sure there are times we said, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I should have done this instead. That's why we stand here today. Because we do need one another. We need Christ in our lives. Lent reminds us that we're not alone. Though the journey is bleak, it ends well. And we have partners to walk with us every step of the way. And we praise God for that.